Hello.
Wow. That's a feeling of power. Okay. Hi, my name's Rob Lefferts. That was cool. I want to build that, and I want to build more. Let me be the first to welcome you to the fifth floor of SharePoint Conference 2014. This is Developer Turf. This whole hallway, all week long, we will be unveiling the information about what we have built, what you can build on top of it, and how we can together solve real business problems. I like to call it the developer penthouse, and this is where the magic will happen. I've actually been on SharePoint roughly since the dawn of time. I was on the Tahoe project, for those of you that know that, back before it had a code name. And so if there's anything that's been bugging you for the last 10 years that you're really angry about, it's probably my fault. I apologize. But it does give me some perspective on what we're talking about this week. And what I would like to say is that we have the broadest and most compelling vision we've ever had about where we want to take developers and what we want to do with the platform. And we have sown that across all of Microsoft, including Office and Exchange and Visual Studio and the Cloud and Azure. And we're super excited to bring that to bear for you today. Let me introduce my partner in crime, Brian Jones.
Hello, I'm Brian Jones. Similar to Rob, I've been around for quite a while, but on the other side of the house, on the Office client side. So the entire other set of problems that you have that you want to complain about can come to me. No problem. And so I guess the way that Rob and I think of it is we kind of have combined, worked together, kind of chocolate peanut butter thing. I don't know who's chocolate and who's peanut butter. I don't know which one's better. I'll be that one, whatever it is. Excited to talk to you about a bunch of the stuff that we're doing. So Rob's going to walk through a lot of the vision stuff, and I'm looking forward to showing you guys a whole bunch of demos, code, things like that. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. Brian has got all the hard work. What we're going to do today is we are really going to try to delve in and show you how it works and open up the code and get into the solutions. And so I've got some cool graphics and visuals. I tried to get him to shave. He wouldn't do it. He said we'd have no credibility if we came in here without a beard. So he's going to show you how it really works. And I counted them up. We've got something like 11 separate demos to really get into both the breadth of the surface area and the depth of what you can get done. So with that, let's talk a little bit about where we're at, where we're coming from, and what we've accomplished so far. It's kind of amazing. 3.4 million developers using this platform to drive value for business users. About half those working with SharePoint. And of course, the numbers I'm talking about here are not just like Cloud and Office 365, and we're going to talk about that a lot, but the foundation we are building on from on-premises and how people know how to use Office and use SharePoint to be productive. 1 billion Office users. And coupled with that, growth into the cloud, and it is real and it is palpable. When we came to the last SharePoint conference, we were just getting started. Now we have data around the fantastic growth we've seen in Office 365. 7 out of 10 Fortune 5 companies have engaged with a Microsoft Cloud service. And the app model is going right along with that. And so we get to monitor in the store, are people using it? Are people downloading? Are people engaging? And we see exponential growth in those statistics, and we're very excited. And that drives us to keep growing the model and to keep adding power and capability into the solutions. But let me be clear, when I look at that and I say, wow, this is great and this is amazing, I know why it happens. And the answer is quite clear. You guys, the people in this room. And so thank you for your contributions. You are the people solving specific business problems. You are the people making actual end users productive and making the ecosystem go. And there's a wide range of people working in a wide range of places. It's not just about the fanciest new cloud solution in the marketplace, although we're pretty excited about that, and we'll show some of those. It's also about the people working inside enterprise development and working directly with business users about their problems. And so thank you for all of the contribution. The one thing I would like to make sure that you understand and that you keep clear is that we are listening, and we care deeply about what you have to say, and we are constantly looking for new ways to listen. Just last fall, we opened up channels on User Voice, where people in the community could come and contribute feature requests and ideas, things that they wanted to see in the platform, capabilities that they thought we should have. And we have been listening to this, and we have been knocking them down. The things over on the right are things we have delivered. And in case it wasn't clear from the SharePoint Tahoe since the dawn of time, I'm a little bit of a geek. And when I look at these, I get very excited for two reasons. One, a bunch of them are features. A bunch of them are like, wow, we really need to have that new control. We really need to have the people picker. We really need you to enhance your REST APIs. And we've been able to deliver that. And a bunch of them are also guidance. Tell us how we can make these solutions better. Tell us what kind of roadmap we need to pay attention to so we know where you're going and we can make sure that we land in the same place. This is the kind of engagement that we want to continue to have with all of you, and thank you for that participation. User voice is kind of formalized. People submit ideas, they come back with answers. We work on it, and we really appreciate that input. But just like a lot of it is about answering questions and engagement, we're looking for informal channels where we can connect directly with people around what problems are you trying to solve and give you advice on the best way to do it. And so we have sponsored 5 tags inside of Stack Overflow where we will be actively engaging with the community. And we support all of the experts around here engaging as well and making sure that we can together figure out the best way to get these problems solved. And I'm super excited about this. I invite everyone to go participate. I know we will be watching it. All right. This is about multiplying your impact. You engage with us, we take that feedback, and we enhance the platform. There's really two angles there. There's about finishing and filling in, and then there is a great deal about vision and roadmap, and we want to work together on both of those. The way that it works is we enhance the platform with more and more capabilities over time. Those provide you with leverage so that you can do more and more in your solutions and deliver enhanced capability and more possibility and more imagination. And then real people get to actually do some work and solve those business problems. And the thing that I'm excited about, and I hope you are excited about with me, is making as many people as possible get to that enhanced productivity. And so today we're going to talk about how we've been enhancing the platform. I also think about this vision over time, because one of the great things about SharePoint going back to 10 years ago was that it became a consistent fabric. If you built a solution and you built it to run on SharePoint, you knew you had a place to run it. You knew you had a place to deploy it, and people wouldn't have to go buy servers and figure out how to run ops and do backups. It was this consistent, ubiquitous fabric across a number of enterprises. And that's one of the reasons that we're so excited about the cloud, because we want to reinvent that and make it even easier and even broader so that not just the biggest companies, but every company has access to that consistent fabric where any productivity solution can run. As we do that, we have huge respect for where we have come from and the things that you have built with us. And my main point on this slide, really the core essence of what I want to get across, is Jeff announced, I think there was big applause, there will be an on-prem release of SharePoint Server in the next year. And I am here to say that the things that used to run in that version of SharePoint Server, like full trust code, will continue to run, and we believe in that vision. We are being careful stewards of what you have built and managing it going forward. Similarly in the client, VBA will continue to work, COM add-ins will continue to work, and so we need to be careful about painting a clear roadmap, and we've heard requests for that, and we also want to respect the investments that you've made while making sure that we can all together get to the next 10 years in a way that opens up new possibilities and new imagination. And that's what we're here to talk about today. Why have we done what we've done? The app model, we released it in 2013. We had a big splash at the SharePoint conference. We had Scott Guthrie up and doing a demo. It was really cool. I wanted to make sure that we took a step back and understood why everyone understood why we think it's so important. Because I'm worried that people heard, oh, it's just about, you know, Office 365 running in the cloud, and it's actually about a lot more than that. So these are the core principles behind why. The first thing we did, we wanted to make sure that SharePoint and Office was open and flexible, that people were able to interoperate with everything in their environment, And that means the real world, heterogeneous environment that they actually work in, and that they had choices about what tools they were going to use. And so a lot of this is about protocols and standards, and a lot of this is about architecture and design, and a lot of this is about engagement with the community and open source. The second thing is we needed it to be consistent. We needed people to be able to have a model where they could follow the same template, whether it was on-prem or in the cloud, and it would run in both places. Whether it was on the client, in a rich client like Office, or on the server or in the service, and the same model and framework holds true. And that really required thinking about the core architecture. And finally, it's pretty clear how people do work today. They do work running around between all the other work that they do, and they're highly mobile, and we need to make sure that solutions that people build with the platform work in all of those mobile contexts. And so that has been a driving force behind the app model. And now let me describe, this is my very simple blow-by-blow, what it means to be in the new app model. This is how I think about the world that we came from. It's a tightly bound architecture. There's a host process that could be SharePoint or could be Office. It's actually consistent. And your code runs inside there. It's great because you have direct hooks into everything that's going on inside of that host process. There's a lot of surface area, but there's actually some problems. First problem, not that anybody here would ever write a bug in your code. I know that wouldn't happen here. But if you did, and you wanted to figure out what went wrong, you now have to go dig into not just your code, but you have to deeply understand the host process around it. Now imagine that's a SharePoint process, and there's 20 or 30 other solutions running in there with you. Well, now you've got to figure out which one it was that had the terrible performance problem that bogged down the farm, that took down your servers. And so that's a huge issue. The second thing is when we go and upgrade that host process, you are highly dependent upon all of the surface area that we've created between your solution and that code. And then the third thing is, there's a barrier between you and the platform. You can't go directly into SQL Server because SharePoint owns that, and if you mess with it, you might break that blue box that is the host process. So this is bad. Where we're going to is a modern world of loosely coupled, and this is the nugget of what the app model is all about. First thing is that your code, the solution, is running in a separate place. And let me be clear, that doesn't just mean Azure. That means anywhere you want it to run, on a LAMP stack. Frequently, one of the best places to run business logic is actually inside of a browser, because there's a great JavaScript engine there, and you can actually take advantage of that power to run your code and deliver an immediate experience for the user. But that stuff connects to the productivity service through a crisp handshake with APIs. And for us, that means O365 APIs and Office.js. And that's how you drive the productivity service of Office and how you get connection to the data and the services we provide. And then the last thing is that platform, suppose you wanted to go into your SQL database and index a column or change the schema. You have the power and the flexibility to do that because it has become a native Windows or Azure app or LAMP app, just like anything else that you would build. And that's what's really driving the core vision of how we think about the app model, and that is the architecture that we really need to have be consistent on-prem and in the cloud in the future. That has brought us to where we are today. Jeff talked about it. We are delivering these three core things, and this is what we're talking about. The big news, one of the most important things to get across today, is that this builds on top of everything that we talked about in 2013. And so the investments you made with that are preserved, and this very much paints the roadmap of where we're going in the future. So the first thing is contextual apps, that people can interact with applications where they do their work. That can be in Office, that can be in a phone, that can be on SharePoint, that could be Office Online, that could be Exchange. And we want to make sure that they get not only directly connected into doing the work, but also that you can deliver the best possible experience. And so if you think about what happens there, we want to make sure that people, you have access to all the HTML and JavaScript tools that you're familiar with. Second, robust O365 APIs, where we connect you to a whole range of data coming from Office 365, as well as from other data sources. And then we make sure you can build great apps with all the tools you want running on devices connected to those capabilities. And finally, really flexible tools. We're going to talk at length about Visual Studio and Azure and Access, and we think those are some of the best possible ways for people to build apps with the model. But one of the core elements that we've got is that you have, back to the principles, real choice about how you want to build it, and if you wanted to use Eclipse or you wanted to run it on LAMP, that is fully possible, but this is the most frictionless and seamless way to get it done. So with that, let's actually take a step back, and I'd like to rerun the demo from the keynote, just so we all know what we're talking about, with a couple additions.
Yep, so I'm gonna go through this one pretty quick, because you guys all hopefully saw that in the keynote. And you can see here that we're on a little test site for Brian and Rob. I didn't even notice that text was in there, so that's nice to have. What I'm gonna do first is walk through it really quick for 2 minutes, and then we're gonna go back and start kind of hitting on it a little bit in future demos. So we're gonna pull back to this one a bit. So if you remember, the scenario was we have a marketing campaign site where people can go and request to have new marketing campaigns set up, and then they go and add those to a list in SharePoint. There's a whole workflow around how approval happens, and at the end, a site is automatically provisioned once that's approved. So I have my list here of the different marketing campaigns. And then one of the first key things that we showed in the demo was how we can have SharePoint information being in context throughout the Office system. So what I can do is I can be here inside of Outlook. I don't quite have the polish that Arpan had set up for my mail. I'm just going to start with a blank mail. But I'm going to go and insert this app. So I've got an app, Marketing Campaign Requests. And what this does is this has right here inside of OWA, this would also run in the Outlook Rich client. So this works across the platforms that we run on. I can go and make and ask to have a new campaign set up. So let's just say Brian campaign. Looks good. And then I can go and pick a set of approvers. So these approvers are coming directly out of Azure AD. There's the different roles. There's the VP role and the director role. So the app is going and pulling that information out. If I went and updated Azure AD, the app would then show that new information. I'm going to go and say I want Darina and Anne to be the approvers. I'm going to submit request. And then this app, the code is going to call back to SharePoint. It's going to go and add a new item with the approvers. And then one of the pieces that you didn't see in that demo was that the app also goes and interacts directly with Outlook. So it went and automatically embedded information about that request into the Outlook mail. That's because we have a set of JavaScript APIs across the Office clients that let these apps go and interact with the clients. So it went and wrote that information directly into Outlook. And now if I come back to that site and I hit refresh, we'll see that that new Brian campaign has been added with the two different approvers. So that's pretty powerful, right? Just right there, that integrated experience across the products. The next thing I want to do is switch over to my device here, the other part of the demo. So I've got my marketing campaign app. So this is a native Android app. Actually, it's not displaying, is it?
Is it a name display?
That should be two. Let me try one thing, and then I'll ask you just to remember what happened. Actually, you know the power for this thing. Oh, no, that's this. All right. So there was this awesome part on Android that was super cool, and there was all this other stuff I was going to show that we built into it. I was just going to show exactly what you saw, so it's okay there. But I go on the Android device. I go and click that I want to approve the app. Request. Then there's also a Windows Phone component where another approver goes and approves it. And then that kicks off another workflow that will go and automatically provision a site. So one of the key things that we heard around requests for the new app model was to have APIs in the CSOM to go and do site provisioning. And so we've added that now. That'll be part of SP1. And so now you can go and automatically provision sites using the CSOM APIs. And so the next step of that process was to go and automatically provision a site. So you see for these two campaigns that were approved, when I go and click on one of those campaigns, let me just go into the list view. This is the part that I always do through the device. Yeah, sorry. So I can't even show that part. But what happened is a campaign automatically got set up. So a site got provisioned, a document library, a project view, all got set up for me automatically using those site provisioning APIs. And as Rob was saying, that was one of the key things that we responded to from feedback through things like user voice and all the customers and partners we've been engaging with. So again, thanks for that feedback, and we'll keep adding stuff as you guys help us learn more about making those APIs more robust. So with that, hand back to Rob.
Great, thank you very much. So that's where we're coming from, and as I said, what we want to do is break into pieces of that and tear it down. But let's talk a little bit more about what a contextual app actually is. There's kind of two components that go hand in hand here. One, you can think of it as a canvas to paint your experience. And at the very simplest level, that canvas is an iframe. And you can deliver a chunk of HTML and JavaScript into that iframe. Now, we do a bunch of work on the back end to make sure that that happens correctly inside of each application, which is to say we sandbox it, we do security work. If you're inside of Office, one of those things might actually be sitting inside of the content of a document or a spreadsheet. So there's a bunch of work to make sure it shows up correctly in there. We handle all that for you, and you get to think about how do I really want to render a great experience for my user. And the interesting thing about it is that experience is coming from a centralized service, and that's true in the case of SharePoint as well as for Office. And that gives you the hooks to think about, well, maybe I can put all the business logic in one place, and I can manage the deployment and the update from one place. And it really becomes this hub and spoke model of your app is a solution driving a number of experiences across all of the endpoints where it shows up. All right, so let's actually show some of those detailed experiences running inside a couple different places.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is look into the ways that we can go and extend that Outlook Mail app. So let's start with this app. So the one of the key pieces of this UI was where I had the set of approvers. So that's where I had some radio buttons where I can go and pick out who the approver is. I want to go in and make some modifications to this UI. I want a different way for people to go and pick the set of users. So let's first go and look at what this app is. So basically, this app is running off in Azure. It's just using MVC. It's using the MVC framework. It has both all the logic that's running against SharePoint. It also has all of the HTML pages that get delivered up from Outlook. So you have one app that covers that entire experience, the integration inside of Outlook and the interaction with SharePoint. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go in and open up those pages that were being served up that defined the app experience inside of Outlook. And I've got a few pieces. I've got this HTML right here where you can see I had the two divs that get updated to have those radio buttons. So that's what I want to. That's the first thing I want to go and address. And then I'm going to go and do a little bit of work to change what happens once the user goes and hits submit. So the first thing I want to show is something that we're releasing this week in preview form, which is also based on feedback that we've had from a bunch of you. A lot of people that are building provider-hosted apps have asked us for a set of controls to make their apps look better and look more like they're part of SharePoint. So the first thing I want to show is you guys can go and all play around with this today. There's a NuGet package you can go and get that is the Office Web Widgets. It's experimental. And so the first two controls we're delivering are People Picker and List View Control. You can go and use those today, play around with it, and that's what we're going to go and start with right now. So let's go back to this app. And what I want to do, I've already done a little bit of work in this app. So the first thing I did, let's go to the scripts, is I included the files from that set of libraries. So I've got this Office Controls, these Office Controls, JS files, CSS files. So those are just the packages that you can go and get yourself, download from NuGet, and play around with. So I already included those in my solution. And the other thing I did is in the header for this app, I went and referenced those new controls. And I went and had just a little bit of script that went and automatically initialized them. And then you can see down here on the body, I'm also going to go and get it so those controls go and render. So let me go and switch over to the HTML now. So rather than those two divs that I had where I was going and putting the radio buttons, let me go and comment those out. And I'm just going to go and use this little block instead. So I just have a couple new divs with new IDs. And you can see that these are both of type Office Controls People Picker. So it's just something you can do right there inside your HTML. And now that's just going to establish these as People Picker controls. The other thing that I want to go and do is update my JavaScript. So if I scroll down here in my app, you can see here that I've got I've got my code right here that goes and runs. So when the user hits submit, that's where I go and grab the values out of those radio buttons, and I submit them up to the SharePoint app to go and set those approvers. So what I'm going to do instead, let me comment these out. And instead, what I'm going to do is now grab the value from those people picker controls. So you can see right here, every one of the controls, the people picker control, you can easily just go and get it what the display name is, so the display name of the different users that I'm going to go and grab. And let me just go and save this and see how it works. So let's go. I'm going to be here inside of the Outlook Mail. I'm going to go and insert this app again. And now when I go click on approvers, you'll see that instead of the radio buttons, I have those two controls. So let's say this is my people picker test. Now when I go down to VPs, one of the VPs was Dorena. It's typed it in enough. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Vice President of Marketing. So right there, you're getting that people picker control showing up right there inside of the app.
So Brian, this is running on the website in the rich client, in the OWA, but what would I have to do to show that inside of the rich client?
Inside of the rich client, you would have to do nothing. It would just work inside of the rich client.
And no update required because it's deployed from that central service.
That's right. I mean, that's pretty cool. The director I can grab is David. I can just go and tab out. It'll go and auto-complete that. When I go and hit submit request, it will go and automatically update that. And now if we come back to our site and refresh our view here, you can see there's that new one, People Picker test. It grabbed those two names, so it went and grabbed those values right out of the control. It submitted to the site. Really powerful. That was just like maybe 6 or 7 lines of code that we wanted to update. All you got to do is grab that package. The next thing I want to do, though, here really quick is I actually want this thing to integrate with Outlook a little bit more. And so what I'd like to do is rather than just go and change around this control, I'd like to make it so that every time somebody uses this app, the people that are picked are automatically CC'd on the app. So if I come back here into my editor, I'm going to scroll down a little bit more. And so here I am where it goes. This is that line of code. This is the line where it goes and writes that information into the message body that says what the name of the campaign is and gives you the link to that. All I'm going to do is go and this time, rather than grabbing the display name, I'm going to grab the email value for each of the people in those controls. And I'm just going to go and grab the item, the mail item, take the CC line, and write the value into that. So let me go and save that. 4 new lines of code. Come back here. Create a new mail. My next test. I don't even know how to spell test. Approvers. Again, let's go and grab Dorena. And let's grab David. And now when I hit submit, you'll see not only will it update the HTML, it should go and write the value into the CC line there. How awesome is that? I just love this stuff. It's incredible. It's great. So that's just to show a little bit of how simple it is to start extending the experience within the Office client. So you can really think of the clients as an extension to your solution. So if you're a SharePoint developer, the Office client's now becoming a really valuable way of you going and making your solution even more integrated with the way that users do their work. The next thing I want to do is go and talk a little bit about some of the work that we've done just around improving the discoverability of apps, the usability of apps, how people interact with apps. The first thing I'll show here is just some of the work that we did in for SP1. So this is Excel SP1. Many of you probably have it already. The updates have started going out. If you don't have it yet, it'll start to trickle out pretty quickly. And there's a number of additions that we've made in SP1 around apps. So the first thing you'll notice if you've played around with apps at all inside of the clients is when I go to the Insert tab here, I now have not just the one apps button, but we have a couple pre-canned apps that show up here. So Bing Maps and People Graph are two apps that show up automatically. We found that a lot of users didn't know what the app button meant, what apps were. And so we have a few out of the box that will go and show up. In addition, we've made it clear that there's the store where you can go and acquire apps, or you could also just go and click on My Apps and see the apps that you've already acquired or the apps that your enterprise has pushed out to you. If I go and click on the Bing Map app, for instance, that just goes and automatically gets updated and added into Excel. I can go, and one of the things that the Bing team did is they added this ability to go and say insert sample data so that it automatically goes and shows the user here's the data that's expects to be bound to. And just like that Outlook app was using that JavaScript API, this Excel app is using the JavaScript API for Excel. And so if I go and change a value here, like let's say that this state, rather than Washington, I want it to be Hawaii, when I go and hit return here, you'll see the map automatically updates and it goes and shows Hawaii. Actually, it doesn't show the little disc over Hawaii though, does it? There we go, little bug in the app. So it's automatically capturing change events right there, right? One of the ones I want to show is some of the great work we're now starting to see from our different partners. So we just announced a great deal with DocuSign where they're building a rich set of apps. And so let me go and show one of their apps that they've built that shows up inside of Outlook. So here I am inside of OWA, and I have a bunch of messages from this Contoso Images group. And what they're going to do is they're going to go and try and do a campaign about me to make me look cooler publicly. And so that's pretty important to me. But the last thing that they needed was rights to my pictures so they can go and use it. And so I definitely want to go and do that. So they went and attached this document for me. It's a form that I can go and open. It's got like, I think it's just like a typical legal form. Let me go and open this. Yeah, here it is. Just one of these forms that has a little place for my signature down at the bottom. And what I want to do is print this out, sign it, and fax it back based on what they asked me to do here. That's kind of a PIA, and so I'd rather not do that. Well, DocuSign has this app now that they've added where if I get an attachment, I can go and open the DocuSign app. It goes and lets me log in with my O365 account, so it'll automatically go, everybody who has O365 can then go and use this. And now when I go and click on this app, I can go and right here from within the mail, I can go and click on this button that says Sign Selected Attachments. It's going to go and automatically render that document for me right here inside of the mail. I can go and scroll down to that spot where I was supposed to add my signature. Go and drag and drop my signature right there. How badass is that? I love it. So I can just do this right here, reply back to them. I don't have to worry about faxing it or any of that stuff. It's just great. So, next thing I want to show is a big stretch preview, but it's to show you where we're going with apps in SharePoint, again around just this contextuality of solutions. So let me go and switch over to this site here. I've got a SharePoint site here set up, and I've got an app that I've already installed that's this CAD app. This neat little web app that was built that lets you go and do simple, like, actually not just simple, but lets you go and do CAD drawings here. So I can just go and do drawings inside of that. So it's a kind of cool app. I can go and put it for all of our users to go and use. One of the things, though, that we've seen is if you're building apps for SharePoint, well, one of the key things you're using SharePoint for is documents. And so we're going to go and allow apps to go and register for document file extensions, just like any other of the apps that we ship, like Word or PowerPoint. So if you look in this document library, I've got some Word documents, I've got an Excel spreadsheet that has a little icon. Look at these four documents right here. These use the CAD drawing extension. So when I installed that app, it registered for that extension. And now, not only does it show a cool little icon, I can even go and click on this thing. I'll get the auto preview. This is a CAD drawing of a house. It's using that app directly rendered right there inside of the auto preview. I can go and open this thing, make edits to it, and so I can now go and build apps that behave just like the WAX, the web applications, right there inside of OneDrive, inside of SharePoint for all Docket libraries. Really excited about this one. You guys like that? Okay, so with that, I'm going to switch back to Rob. I want to quickly go and show a few of the a list of the different things that we've shown so far. So we had the Compose app, the improved discoverability with the ribbon buttons there. We had that new mail app from DocuSign, the file extension handler. I'm actually curious which ones people were most excited about. We could, no, that, let's, we're going to do a show of hands, but that won't work too well. I've got an app that I'm going to go and insert. This is a great app that we that just launched this weekend from a company called Poll Anywhere, where I can go and in my presentation, I can say, hey, I want to go and create a multiple choice poll. I've got 5 questions. I'm going to go and create that poll. And it goes and automatically embeds a poll in here. And what I'm going to do here, let's go and view this one. And if you guys can do me a favor, if everybody has their cell phones, go ahead and call this number or text this number, 22333. And whichever one you like best, just go and type that into the text. So if you like the Compose apps, 852396, just text that to 22333. E should have been the poll app. It didn't really quite show up for me. And then we'll go and, oh, look at that. Somebody already texted.
One person participated. I thought this was pretty cool.
I love this. It'll slowly start to fill in. Oh. Hey, the poll app's leading. That's awesome. It's a SharePoint conference, so I kind of assumed D was going to be really popular. But the mail ones, okay. But the DocuSign one was pretty hot. I guess maybe people don't get the fax things as much anymore.
Like, I'd actually like to take a second and talk about what this really means. And when we say contextual apps, we mean information workers doing new kinds of things that they were never able to do before. And so as Brian and I were teeing this up and working with the designer, it was actually a long conversation to say, no, don't worry about that box. It's going to be live. Things are going to be happening there that will be completely out of your control. And we will see that, in fact, the new mail app is totally awesome. Well, they're all totally awesome.
Yes. And just to be clear, this is just a web page sitting there running inside of the PowerPoint-rich client. The Poll Anywhere guys, we started talking to them about this solution just a little over 3 weeks ago. That's how long it took them to build the app and put it in the store. Anybody who already has a web solution, it is so easy to now go and integrate that into the rich client. So it's a really powerful example. All right.
Awesome.
Switch
off
that.
Thank you, Brian. The point of all of that, and hopefully it's come across clearly, is about breadth of experience, delivering things to users wherever they happen to live and where they're doing their work. But in addition to that, we believe that we need to contribute great depth of capability, and that's really what the robust Office 365 APIs are all about. When I take a step back, what I see is the great app model that we started in 2013 growing up out of SharePoint and really starting to cover the rest of what Office 365 can do. And so when we talk about mail and calendar, it's kind of amazing to say, wow, you can easily build solutions that manage how am I going to authenticate to both Exchange and SharePoint, and how am I going to pull data from both of those, and then how am I going to deliver those in a rational user experience. And this is one of those things that is actually a big roadmap indicator about where we are going. So if you say apps for Office, well, there's an outline. We will build this as we go forward so that it runs everywhere people use Office. In this, we now have a huge roadmap for capabilities that are going to come across in the service that we want you to use. And so we are going to build out these APIs, and you will see over time adding more and more. So we have a list today. And this is the template. You can, in fact, imagine an object that you want, and you can probably pretty much imagine what we're going to make it look like. And if you have specific feedback, of course, User Voice is a great place to give that. So this is not only about the data coming from Office 365. This is also about data coming from other Microsoft services. And the underlying pinnings of these APIs are around OData and OAuth. And so, as Jeff mentioned in the keynote, and as we will be driving home, We want to make sure that you can get to information out of Bing and get to information out of Dynamics using this consistent programming model. And we're working with partners in other services to make sure that you can get to stuff like SAP, LinkedIn, Oracle, Google, because you live in a heterogeneous environment and that's where a lot of the critical data comes from. We're going to deliver that across everywhere that people actually do work. And so this really means, I mean, if you're like me, you love nothing more than let's open up TCP/IP and let's write directly to that REST protocol endpoint, because that's awesome. But maybe you want to have a client library that would make that a little easier and turn it from a science project into hero in a day. And that's the kind of thing that we want to make sure is true by giving you a robust set of client libraries that work across all of the open browsers naturally, but also support on iOS, Android, and Windows. And that's what we're driving towards. So let's take a look at what some of those APIs and capabilities actually look like.
Okay. So eight. All right. So first thing I'm going to start with is just talking about the new APIs that Jeff mentioned already in the keynote. So one of the things I want to show is I'm here in my document library in OneDrive. So you can see here, if I just, let me zoom in so people can see this. All right, so I've got my URL up here. This is just my OneDrive up on my site. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to the end of the URL for my site here. I'm just going to go and say _API/files. So now if I go and navigate to that, you'll see that we get a RESTful API. And this is one of the key things is that we know in the past, you actually every time you dealt with documents, you had to first know that, understand that actually it was a list that you were dealing with, right? And so all the APIs you interacted with were based around that. We're now building a brand new set of APIs specifically around documents. And so as you go and look through these set of APIs, every one of these entries is a document. You can easily go and see what the document type is. Right here, here's one of my PowerPoint files that it's going and referencing. I can see that the type of file is that it's a PowerPoint file. And these were those APIs that we were using in those solutions to go and interact with directly with O365. I can go and access this through any device. It's not something that I have to use the CSOM for. And we're also going to go and do a bunch of work to provide great SDKs around this to make it a little bit easier. One of the things one of our developers went and built that has, look at this, this is the greatest icon on the bottom right here, this Win8 Service Discovery one. I was surprised by that one last night when I got the latest update for his app. It's awesome. And so this app, what it does is it goes and hits the single URL here, api.office.com. And right from there is where you can start to go and get at all the information for your user that you need. So the first thing I'm going to do here is say I want to sign in. So I'm going to say Bri Jones at this is my dev account, openxml.onmicrosoft.com. I could provide any O365 email. In fact, I could provide any email to this. I could go and hit that service, api.office.com, and that service is going to go and return to me as a developer and let me know, first of all, is this person already in the system? So the first thing I found out is, yes, this person does have O365. So if you want to start taking advantage of O365 services for this user, you can. Well, the next thing I want to do is say, you know, I now want to know, now I know where their account is. So if they have like a vanity domain or any of that stuff, my app can still completely handle that. Now what I want to do is actually go and get access to their data. So I'm going to go and click on this access service. And now the end user gets notified that the app wants to access their data. So I'm going to go and log in. And we're going to get this consent dialog. We're going to get this consent dialog that's going to let me as a user know, here are the different rights that that app wants to have. It wants to get at my profile, my contacts, calendars, my mail, basically everything. And I totally trust this app because it was built by Vladko, so I'm going to go and hit OK. No problem. And so now we've gone and given this app access to my stuff. And so it can go and get at all of my information. So you can see here that we pass back an access token and a refresh token. And so now, as a developer, you can now go and start to upload documents to their SkyDrive if you want. You've got a lot of rich flexibility in terms of the types of solutions that you want to go and build. I'm not going to go any further in this app. I'm going to go and switch over to actually building an app that takes advantage of those different services. So here I am in Visual Studio. Let me show you what this app is. Right now, this app doesn't in any way interact with Office 365. It's an expense report app that somebody built. It's a rich client app that goes and connects to a set of services that we use to go and manage our expense reports. I think this one's just connecting to SQL. But anyway, it's not connected to Office 365 yet. I've got a couple placeholders here for test one, test two buttons. And if I go and click on the charges, I can go and drill into each charge, and I've got a couple placeholders here. Copy to my calendar and save to OneDrive. So those are two bits of functionality that I want to go and add. So let me show you what the Visual Studio team has been working on to make it even easier to go and connect to these set of services. So the first thing I'm going to do is just right-click on my project. I'm going to go and add a connected service. And I see that I've got a few things I can connect to. I can connect to Exchange, or I can connect to SharePoint. I'm going to go and connect this app to Exchange first. And what it's going to do is it's going to let me go and pick the type of information I want. Let me zoom in here because that's probably a little small. So I can go and grab, say, if I want to connect to contacts, let me just go and read those. I want to go and have full rights to the calendar, and I want to go and just be able to read the user's mail. So I'll click OK for that. I'm going to go and add one more service. That's SharePoint. So let me go and add another connected service. SharePoint. And I will just go and say I want to be able to edit and delete items from all sites. Okay, so first thing is, let's go and check out. There's one little bug here that I gotta go and clean up. Move that up there. Let me go and see where we had those the stubbed out functions for those two buttons, adding calendar and exporting to SkyDrive. And so let's go and start building out the functionality that I would need to be able to go and add to calendar. So I want to build this for all those anal people that when they go and see an expense, they're like, I don't know when this was. I want to go and push this to my calendar. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and drop this in. And this is just going to go and take advantage of that, of some of the plumbing that was already done by that connected services UI that we went through. And so it's going to go and automatically connect to that service. The next thing I want to do is go and drop that in there. So we're going to go and get ready to actually send data, because we want to go and send data up to that service. I need to go and create a new class here that I can go and use. So let me go and drag and drop this into here. So I'm going to go and create a new class for calendar event. And then what I want to do is I'm going to go and you can see here I've got this create calendar event function. So I just need to go and create a method stub for that. And let me go and get rid of this. And what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go and drop that into there. And then the last thing I need to do is do a post. So let me go and drop this into here where I'm going to go and make an HTTP request. Set up the information that I need to go and post. And let's go, I'm just going to go and build that, and let's see how this guy works. Ah. You know what, it's preview stuff, so I was actually having a little bit of problem with this. Let me switch off of this and go to the next piece.
Okay.
And the last one is, And since we have the issue with the Android device, I'm actually not going to show editing the Android device. But one of the things I do want to show that's actually really powerful is a new project that we've gone and released up on GitHub. So if you go up to GitHub, we have an open source project that we just launched that is an SDK for Android to talk to those O365 services. So if you want to build Android apps, you can go and download this SDK, use it in Eclipse, and build apps for Android that go and connect directly to Office 365 services. We'd love to have people participating with that with us. We're really excited about this project. Thanks.
Thank you. I mentioned before that this is, we're in love with the data in Office 365. We think this is a great way for people to connect to real work being done, but it is a heterogeneous environment, and there's a lot of things running in a big modern enterprise. In fact, one of the things people would say is, hey, my business runs on SAP. I've heard that somewhere. We've had a long-term relationship with SAP, and so when you think about that critical data and how am I going to make that easily show up inside of the great new applications that we're talking about, we have, A, worked with them in the past on things like Duet, Duet 1.0, 2.0, and Enterprise, and we've been working with them on a roadmap about how we will go into the future. And so that takes advantage of a bunch of capabilities that they're building on their side, as well as the stuff that we've just been talking about around cloud business apps being built in Visual Studio and delivered into Office 365. We'll be walking through that with, I'll be up on stage at 3:45 walking through that with our partners from SAP, and so I encourage you to come see how we tie that together. So this is a recap of what we saw and what we talked about. First, we have preview APIs today, file, calendar, mails, lists, people, and contacts, and you will be able to go try those out, and I encourage you to do so. They are absolutely preview. They are not done. In fact, I think preview is baked into the URL. So we promise to change them before we finish them. Don't build production code yet. But along with that, having the objects is great. Having a discovery service that I can connect to is essential, and we will provide that as well, along with the unified authentication experience that Brian described. But in addition, we've wanted to make sure that we just enhance core SharePoint and what people can do with it. And one of the things we talked about was new capabilities for doing site provisioning and doing branding along with that, because when people looked at the app model, one of the core things they said was, hey, a lot of what we do with SharePoint is building these sites and delivering them in a customized way. Give us the same capabilities. We've done that along with guidance and best practices about how to make them really sing. And in the future, there are a couple more things that we will deliver as well. We're talking this week about integration of workflow into app packages for the app model so they can be deployed alongside, along with the cool custom file types and web-based editors that Brian demonstrated. Both of those are coming, and both of those are already in the pipe. And finally, perhaps most essentially, making sure you have great client libraries so that you can program against this stuff. There is a lot going on this week about the stuff that we've just talked about, even just for the contextual apps and the robust APIs. This is all in the developer penthouse. And so come and learn the details of how to build Office and SharePoint apps, as well as the SAP sessions that we talked about, and a deep dive into how to build apps for Exchange and mobile solutions. But let's go ahead and talk about that last key pillar of our vision around flexible tools. There's two sets of people building apps. We love, and this is why we're spending all this time together, our professional developers, whether they're corporate developers or from independent software companies. And we are doing a lot to make sure that they have more and more capability inside of Visual Studio running against the Azure platform. But we also know that subject matter experts, information workers, go and actually make things happen for themselves, and we need to connect them to the power to do that. Jeff mentioned in the keynote, we're going to dive into it. We'll actually show you a little bit of demo. Access is really the easiest way for information workers to build those cloud solutions. And so this week, we will be talking about that in more detail. But the thing you want to bear in mind is that it ends up building apps for SharePoint. And so when we think about these tools, we think it plugs back into that consistent model around apps for SharePoint and apps for Office, taking advantage of OAuth and OData and running consistently on-prem or in the cloud. And so with that, let's take a look.
Okay.
At some of the power of Azure.
Just one sec.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I get the right one? Excellent.
Yep. Yeah, so the first thing I want to go and show is, again, just to show some of the things that you get by putting these solutions into Azure. So that solution that we had from the keynote demo that went published to Azure automatically, I can go and I get a lot of really powerful stuff that I can go and get through here just through the Azure portal. So one of the things I can do here is inside of the Azure portal, I can go and look up the information on my app. I can click on this Notification Hubs link, and I can go and see over the past, actually, even just the past hour, you can see the set of notifications that were submitted. So that functionality that the app had, where when the user went and automatically requested a new campaign and a notification was pushed out to the Android device, That's using Azure Mobile Services. So it's really simple, a few lines of code inside of the app to go and automatically leverage Azure Mobile Services to go and put notifications onto the different devices that your users are on. So that's super powerful. One of the things that I want to go and show now, though, is building a new app and some of the work that the Visual Studio team has done around really making it super easy for you to get started building a cloud business app, a solution that gets deployed into Azure and integrates with SharePoint. So let me go and say File New. I'm going to create a new project, a new cloud business app. I'm going to go and put this up on my dev site again, openxml.sharepoint.com. And what we'll see here is we automatically get a project set up for us where we've got some client code that gets set up for us automatically. We also have logic that's going to run up there on the server, up on Azure. And then I get my SharePoint project set up here too for my SharePoint app. So what I want to do is go and attach to an external data source. I'm going to go and connect to a database. And I've got... I need to go and look at my login here. My username is cbaadmin.
Nobody take photos.
Yep. Somebody's going to need to go and update this afterwards. CBA. I was really appreciative of the person that set this up with a really complex login, too. It was awesome. And I'm going to go connect to the Flight Systems database. And so now Visual Studio is going to automatically go and connect to that database for me. I'm going to grab the airplane database. And now I've brought that database connection into my application. I can go and see here the different types of information that came out of the database. So I've got like the image, for instance. I can go and update this to say that this is an image. So the app is aware of the different things inside of SharePoint. I can go and do some basic binding here. So I can say this info link is a web address, and the last edit by is a person. And then the other thing I want to go do now is I want to go and add a new data source. So we go and add a new data source. And I'm going to go and connect to SharePoint, to my SharePoint document library. So I've set up a document library up in SharePoint. So I'm going to go and log into that SharePoint site. It's going to go and pull the information that I have available down from that SharePoint site. And I'm going to go and have it point at my document library. Because what I'm doing is I'm setting up an app that's going to go and show me a list of different airplanes, and then it's going to go and use my document library to store all the manuals for those airplanes. So that nice hybrid of data living in a different service, connecting with information inside of SharePoint, and using SharePoint for what it's best for things like documents that are end user facing. So let me go and grab this document library. I'm going to grab the airplane specs document library, hit finish there. And now what I need to do is I need to go and create a relationship. So I'm going to bind from the airplane spec, I'm going to bind that to airplane. For every airplane spec, I have 0 or 1 airplanes. And I just now need to go and specify the key. So the key is going to be airplane. If I go and hit OK, it's now automatically created that binding for me. And so now, if I go and hit F5 to start the solution, it's going to go and automatically set this up on my O365 account that I went and specified at the beginning there. Once it brings that up, I'll need to go and give this app trust so that it can go and get at my document library. Yes, I want to go and trust that app. Oh, I forgot to do one thing here. Let me go and actually add a view for it, too. Let me go and create a new view. And bad screen. Thank you. This is my list of airplanes. Airplane view. Screen data, we're going to go and grab that stuff. Hit OK. And now let's go and build that one more time. I don't know why it keeps wanting to log me in with a different account. Open XML. So now you can see I have this app set up for me automatically. It's going to go and lay out a set of tiles for each airplane. It's pulling that information about the airplanes directly from that database that I configured. You can see here that I specified that the image type is of type image, so it goes and shows that preview automatically. This thing does a really nice job of automatically rendering based on the size of the screen. I can go and click on any of these airplanes, and I can actually go and click on airplane specs, and I can see I've already gone and have my spec, my authority spec. I can go and add a new one. It'll let me go and grab a document that I can go and automatically update, upload. And that document will just be written to that document library. So it does that binding of the data out living outside of SharePoint with the key information that you have inside of SharePoint. It's really great stuff. And then the last thing I want to go and show here is some of the work that we're doing to make it really easy for end users to build those same type of cloud apps. And so here I am. I'm inside of my another SharePoint site. And I've got an app here. If I go and click on my set of apps, I've got my app here, Boss. You can see it. This is the set of apps that are available to me. And all of these red apps, these are all built using Access. So end users have gone and built those apps. When I go and click on the Boss app, that's going to go and launch for me. And this is, when you use Access, all of the data is stored in SQL Azure. And so as an administrator, you have that total control over the set of data that users go and use when they're building these Access apps. And so I have this nice, rich app that lets me go and manage the set of the different set of customers that we have for our food business. So I can see all of, I can click on this customers link. This is all data coming directly from Azure. I can click on the different customers I have, and I can see what their different orders were. And the other thing is, Access has added the support for what we call agaves. So that same Bing Map app.
Marketing guy. No, they're up here. But app for Office.
App for Office, not agaves. Sorry.
Apps for Office inside of Access.
You can see why I just referred to it as agave. So what I have here is I have that same Bing Map agave that was running inside of Excel is now running inside of Access. So Access has added this as a preview capability. And when I go and click around on these different customers, you'll see that that app will, the map will go and update, just like I was getting when I was in Excel. So super powerful stuff. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. I just want to take a moment to thank the Visual Studio team. They are actually announcing this week an update to their tools for Office that does a lot of the great things that we showed and talked about, so making it easier to attach to Office 365 using the new APIs, as well as integrating document library content and content coming from other locations, like a custom database or an SAP. And this is the backbone of how we talk about building great apps easily and flexibly from here on out. In addition, they've done a lot of work to make sure that we have a better experience around improved IntelliSense and debugging, and this partnership is critical to how we continue to deliver those great capabilities going forward. There's a lot to learn this week about how to build apps for Visual Studio. These are three of the core sessions that will talk about cloud business apps and how you can highlight the cool things that were shown here today. And then the very last thing we want to talk about is actually independent of those three pillars. It's about the life cycle around making sure I can build code, it does powerful things, but there's a way for me to do all elements of the life cycle. And a lot of that comes naturally out of the architecture because it is centrally managed. So there is a place for me to go and single point, update my app, turn off my app, manage security for my app, back up my app, and that will light up all the contextual endpoints where it shows up. But in addition, there's a bunch of work that we think about, how do we distribute these apps? We've talked in the past about the store. What I want to stress today is that that is just one choice for how people get apps. We think very much about the app catalog that runs on-prem as a way to deliver functionality to end users. This is a critical part of the story because we think it's how we train users to start getting this idea. I could add more to Office. I could solve my business problems better, as well as the great stuff that they can see coming directly from the store. We are doing work to update the store. In fact, it just launched today. There is a new and cleaner look for the store that lets us really highlight this as a business-oriented place. And so we highlight some of the best Lighthouse apps that are building great solutions using the model and things that are really delivering new capabilities for a wide range of users to solve their problems. And finally, we are seeing momentum with the store. It is picking up, and it is very much attached to as people use the cloud and as people deploy Office 2013. An exponential growth in visits and hundreds of apps being deployed, and we continue to add to the model by delivering things like subscriptions, as well as just recently, the Access apps that Brian demoed are now available out of preview, so you can go and deploy Access apps through the store as well. So with that, let's actually show a couple things coming from cool partners working in the store.
Okay, so now we're going to switch over to another site that I have here. And I want to talk a little bit about the way that apps are going to go and extend your experience more within SharePoint. And so here I have my site contents where I can see some of the apps that I have set up for me. And I've got an app here that's really awesome that was built by the K2 team that I want to go and demo. So this app shows up. It was installed for our company. And so everybody in our company now has access to this app and can go and launch it. And let me go and show you the way that this app can really help light up my experience within SharePoint. I've got a list here called Brian Order, and this list I'm going to use to go and track the different orders that people are making for our company. So we can go and see who the customers are, what the category of the order is, and the amount. And so when I go and hit new item to go and fill this in, you'll see that I just get that out of the box form. So I can go and fill in what the name of the order was, who the customer was, but it's not a very connected experience. It's not the greatest form. And we have some really rich CRM systems that we're integrated with. We actually have Salesforce.com where we store a bunch of our customer information, and we're moving to using dynamic CRM. And so what I want to do is start bringing some of that information into this experience. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get out of this editing item, go back to the list, and when I bring up the ribbon, you'll see here that I've got a button from that K2 application. So when that K2 application was installed, it now integrates into my experience here with these lists. I'm going to go and click on that button. And what that's going to do is it's going to go and automatically launch the K2 application in the context of that list. So K2 is getting a pointer to that list. This solution written by K2 is running in Azure. I can go and say that I want to go and create some smart objects, and I want to go and create some custom forms on top of that list to make a much better experience. I'm going to go and hit OK, and so you can also see that I could go and write some workflows if I wanted to on top of that list, even create some rich reports. This is all being defined by K2. As I said, that's running off in their Azure servers. And what K2 is doing right now is it's going and looking at my site, getting the information about that list, and then it's going to go and automatically set up the environment for me where I can go and build the custom forms that I want, and actually go and bind some of the items within that form to some of the smart objects that are already set up inside of K2. Okay, so now that's set up for me. You can see here a few things were created. I've got a few views that were set up around that order form, and then I also have the form themselves. So form is just a compilation of a set of views. So the first thing I want to do is go and edit the view for the new order. So let me go and click on the edit button here. And what that's going to do is bring me into this nice, rich designer where I can go and customize that view. So you can see here, this looks just like what we saw inside of that SharePoint list, the title, customer, category, reviewer, and amount. And the thing that I want to do first is I actually want to go and bind that customer field to my CRM database. So what I'm going to do here is click on the customer, and I'm going to go and turn this into a picker control. And so now what that's setting up is that this customer field now, when I go and fill that out, will use the picker control. I can scroll down here and now bind that picker control to a smart object in K2. So now what I can do, you can see here that I've got both my Salesforce.com service and my dynamic CRM service. What I'm going to do is go into this, and say that what I want that customer field to be bound to the to a field within the account. I'm going to use the account name. So now when I go and fill out that field and I click in the customer field, it's going to automatically go and hit Dynamics CRM and pull the information for me for, about the different customers that we have. So I'm now done with that. I'm going to hit finish here. And now let's go and customize the form that uses that view. Let's go and check this one back in first. And now let's go and edit that form. I'll check that out and edit it. And what I want to do, in addition to just having that picker bound to my CRM database, I actually want to go and pull some information in that, to make it easier for me to learn more about that customer when I'm filling this out. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and grab a view out of Dynamics CRM. And I've got this view that is the order list. So this is the set of all the previous orders that have been made against that customer. I'm going to drag and drop that into my form. And then now I'm going to go to Salesforce.com. And I've got a great view here that's going to go and show me the account details. I'm going to go and bring that out and drag and drop that in as well. And now I have this much richer form that's starting to get built up that's pulling information both from my Dynamics CRM as well as my Salesforce.com. Let me go and change the width here really quick. Okay. And then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and specify a rule. Because what I want to do is I want to set it up so that when I pick the customer in the picker, it goes and automatically will go and populate those other two views that I dropped in from Dynamics and from CRM. So I'm going to go and say add a rule. When a control node view raises an event, select the view, and that view is going to be in the account, in the Brian order attachments list. Nope, new Brian order. I'm going to say when that picker control changes, then I need to go and specify what I want to happen. So what I want to do is I want to go and transfer data. So now what this is going to do, it's going to go and bring up this form for me. And what I can say is, in the account details view, I just want to go and grab that picker control. And I'm going to go and say, the value in that picker control, I'm going to pass through to that accounts detail view, and I'm also going to go and pass it through to that CRM order list view. I'm going to hit OK and finish. And now hit finish here. And then the last thing I just need to do is go and check that back in. And now let's go back and see how that looks. So now if we just go back to our site here, and we go into the order list, when I go and click a new item, you'll now see that I have that rich view showing up here where I've got this both of these new views that I've dropped in. So let's go and just pick a customer. I've got a customer, Edge. I tab out, it automatically looks up that information. You can see off here to the side that data from Salesforce automatically got pulled in for me in that view. Down below, the recent list of orders that we're tracking in Dynamics CRM is also automatically populated for me. And go and give this thing a title, like this is my new product that that people are ordering. I can go and give it an amount, $5,000, hit save, and that's automatically added to that list. Just an amazing experience bringing that data into SharePoint using K2 Smart Objects and their Form Designer. We're really excited about this.
Let's wrap this up. There's just three things we want to say. First and foremost, we are building on the SharePoint 2013 app model. We have talked today about broader set of endpoints and capabilities, deeper capabilities and more powerful tools. And this is a roadmap for how we are going to go forward. And so in the future, you can see where the endpoints that we're going to add, what objects are we going to add, and we are going to keep embracing open and building on top of the platform of Visual Studio and Azure and empowering end users to do more. And there are a lot of things you can do today. The preview is coming out. To repeat, we encourage the connection with the community. And finally, take advantage of the cool tools the Visual Studio guys have released so that you can go start building things right away. Thank you very much.
Thank you.